This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at Reach 2019, held on March 22 and 23, 2019, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Thank you, Jason. As he has already introduced this subject to you, learning and enjoying to submit to others, the handout that you have received is a condensed version of my notes. And I'm going to begin here with some introductory remarks. Submission. Does it have an inspirational ring to it? Submission. Or does it more like you think of being submerged into water and gasping for air? Give me air. Let me live. Why such a subject at a missions gathering? We served in Kenya. It's now been over 20 years when we left home. Before we left home, I had a brother in our church tell me this. Earl, he said, the biggest challenge you're going to face on the mission field is to get along with fellow missionaries. Now, just last year, we were in a foreign setting, and as we came into the airport there, we discovered the party that was going to pick us up was not there. And so we waited, and then we saw another white man come, and he was coming for another party, and so we got to talking with him a bit, and then they left. And during the 3-week stay that we stayed at this place where I was teaching, this same missionary came to talk with the missionary that I was working with. And so he's from a different organization. He's non-Anabaptist. And they were there in the classroom talking to each other, and I was just listening. And here's what this missionary said. He said, missionary work wouldn't be so bad if you didn't have to deal with missionaries. So I'm telling you that this subject, I believe, is pertinent for a gathering like this. Now, some may think that this is especially a subject needed for young people. And it is. Or ladies. Or especially the combination of young ladies, okay? But in reality, older men in leadership, long-term workers and missionaries may be in need of this subject even more than the young people. And I'd like to say, my friends, think about this. But I want to say next here, it is not wise for any person to always be in charge wherever he goes. It's not wise. Now, today, there's a large emphasis upon leadership, and rightly so, because as leaders are, so their followers are. And so we have seminars and books on leadership principles, servant leadership, developing leadership, inspirational leadership, effective leadership, how to lead, the call to leadership, etc., etc., but so little about submitting. Now, some people seem to be naturally submissive. There's some personalities that are just easy to get along with. And you know, they just kind of, they don't never cause many ripples, and it seems they get along okay in life. Let me tell you, I'm not one of those people. And Jason, I told him that, yes, I am not naturally a submissive person. Let me tell you a few things. I am perhaps a junior in high school, and I'm out in the barn helping to milk the cows, and I'm talking to Dad about things at school. And I'm talking about our principal, and he's a newer principal, and okay, he was certainly an improvement over the older principal we had before. I could tell you some things about him. But this new one, okay, he wasn't really just a bad guy, but he wasn't a good public speaker. He had kind of a stiff personality and really wasn't all that inspirational. And I'm telling Dad about things at school, and I don't even remember what the issues were. I just remember what Dad said. Here's what he said. Earl, I think you're going to have a hard time working under anyone. Now, fast forward to about 10 years after that, and by this time I'm married and I'm working at a pallet shop, and I am in the office, and I'm pleased to have been given this job. I'd been working on the shop before and offered the position in the office, and I'm putting myself into this. No, it's not my business. I'm working for the, you know, I have a boss, but I'm putting myself into it. I'm putting my heart into it. And I go outside there around the shop, and I see some things. I have some suggestions maybe and so forth and so on. Sometime later, the boss comes to me and says, I'd like to talk with you. Okay. He said, the foreman has... He don't like for you to come out there and say this and this and this. I'm saying you just stay in here in the office. Oh, did that sting. Oh, I had meant well. And I became angry. Maybe I didn't say angry words, but inside I was angry. That night, I think it was the same night, we had some function at school or in church, and the boss and I going same church. And you know, I gave him a cold shoulder. I was upset. Well, over the weekend, I had time to thaw a bit. And by Monday morning, I came to him and I said, you know, I'm sorry for the way I responded. You know what he said? I'm glad. I'm glad that you're saying that, because I told my wife, or I think he said that, I told my wife, I don't know if he's going to have a job here. Now, fast forward to about 25 years after that. We're sitting at Mom and Dad's house after a church hymn sing. It was kind of our custom when we had a church hymn sing. We go to Mom and Dad's house, and Mom, she's good with food, and she's serving us food and so forth. We're sitting around the bar there talking about church or maybe some individuals or something. And all of a sudden, Dad, who was very supportive of me as a pastor and supported my ministry, and who it was my good friend, here's what he said to me. Earl, I do not believe that you are supporting the rest of your pastoral team like you ought, and I think I see it in your children. Whew. Talk about a mouthful. I didn't agree with Dad, but I didn't. Okay. Relationship I had with my dad, I said, he was my good friend, but you just didn't argue with Dad. Okay. Oh. To this day, I'm not sure he was right or not. I thought I was trying. I thought it was going better than it had already in the past. But I determined, you know what? Doesn't really matter whether he's right or wrong. I'm going to make it a priority to show support to my fellow pastors and especially to my bishop. And it became a driving desire within me that my bishop knows that I am supporting him, not because I say nice words, oh, I support you, oh, yeah. Not that. But in such a way that he can feel. Now, there had been a few whispers here and there that when we come back from Kenya, back home again. Maybe Earl will start another church. But now it became, whispers weren't necessarily coming from me. Now it became a deep desire within me to show support. And I'm telling you, something happened. Our relationship became very close. And some of the things that I want to say here today, many of these things, I'm telling you, they've been my experience. So that's who I am. Now, I also like to say that submitting to each other does not mean yielding to evil and wrong. I'm talking within a framework that does not include that. And furthermore, submission is just one facet of loving one another and as followers of Jesus. Submission is not a standalone teaching, but it is interlocked with other teachings. And one of these I'm calling, it is we, not me. Now, I have a number of scriptures here that I like to have volunteers to read. And I'll call for you when I want to have you read them. The first one is Luke 9:23. Do I have a volunteer to read Luke 9:23? Yes, Ricky. Ephesians 5, 15 to 21, someone. Thank you. And 1 Peter 5, 5 through 7. Yes. Now, in this first one, Luke 9:23, and there are similar verses in the Gospels, I'm calling this the core reason for submitting to each other. Go ahead. You want to read.
Then he said to them, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me.
Okay, now, Ephesians 5, 15 through 21.
See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God.
Thank you. Notice how in that passage of Scripture, various things, thanksgiving, being understanding of the will of God, being filled with the Spirit is tied together with submitting to each other. Okay, now, 1 Peter 5, 5 through 7.
Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you.
Thank you. Submit yourselves. We're going to look at the definition here a bit, and then we'll look at characteristics and then rewards and blessings of submission. Submit yourselves. Looking at the meaning of the word, it means to arrange under, to be subordinate, to obey, to yield to one's control, admonition, or advice. And the meaning in the original describes a voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, assuming a responsibility, or carrying a burden. It's a voluntary coming under. And this, for us to really understand this teaching, this is a key point. It is a voluntary coming under. It is being subject one to another out of reverence for Christ, as the Amplified says. So it's not just a matter between Hosea and I, but it's a matter between us and God.
There's something. We're not just talking about this. We're talking about this as well. Note how being filled with the Spirit is tied together with submitting to each other. And here's a quote that I came across somewhere, and I don't know where I got this. It is the desire to get along with one another, being satisfied with less than one's due, a sweet reasonableness of attitude. Clothed with humility, as it says there in 1 Peter. Now, to be clothed is referring to a knot or a band by which two things are fastened together. In New Testament days, slaves wore a white apron or a scarf which was fastened to their belt or vest, and it distinguished them from people who were not slaves. So it was very obvious to see who was a slave just by their dress. In other words, gird yourself with humility as servant dress, and one clear way to do so is our subjection to each other. Humility is having a humble opinion of oneself. It is modesty and lowliness of mind. It is, and I don't know how else to say this. This may not be the best way to say it. It is unself-consciousness. And that has been a tough one for me. Because from a young person, I like to dream. You know, I'm here at the nursing home and I'm needing to give this man a shower, but I'm singing wedding hymns. Yeah. And my mind is somewhere, something that I'm looking forward to. Okay. And somehow the dreams that I tend to have are dreams centered around me. And, you know, the up things, not the down things. But unself-consciousness means to serve Christ, to serve others, not being conscious so much of ourselves. I know, we can't forget that we are we. I don't mean it that way. But that is not our focus. The promise to the humble is that grace is to be given, and grace is that which gives joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, loveliness, goodwill, kindness, favor, enabling power, strength to do the master's will. Lots of good things there in grace. And humble means to be unpretentious. It does not mean to demean ourselves. Oh, other people can do better, you know. I know other people could handle this better and could talk about this and could do this better, you know. Why me and all that? That's not humility necessarily, because that's still focusing upon ourselves. It means not to focus upon ourselves at all. And one of the prime ways, I'm saying this just in a little different way maybe, one of the prime ways to humble ourselves is to place oneself under the authority of another, those over us and, yes, those around us. Now, there's also in this verse, in this passage from 1 Peter, a warning to the unwilling. God resists the proud. It's bad enough to be resisted by people. It's far worse to be resisted by God. No one can afford that. And resist means to set oneself against. In other words, we have his opposition, not his favor. Now, obviously, we know that the spirit of nobody's going to tell me how what to do. That's bad. We know that. But there's also a spiritual version of that which says, God told me to do this. Oh, you have got what God told me to do. Now, the subject that we are talking about is real life. It's not theory. Oh, okay, yeah, we're talking here in class. But I am talking about something that none of us, you can say, well, I don't know what you're talking about. Because we all have situations and relationships. And I don't know why you came here. But the real test of submission does not arise when we agree on matters, but when we do not agree. Many years ago, we were sitting at our church house in Indiana,
And we were going to have a schoolhouse built. And so the building committee got the church members together, and they had a whole list of proposals on how this building ought to be built. And so they would bring up this question and see how the church would feel, and we would vote. And the majority, that's what was decided. Well, there were probably, I don't know, was there 10, 12, maybe more questions. And you know what? That night, every way that I voted, that's the way it went. So I was really submitted, wasn't I? The test of submission is when we don't agree. Now, and the thing is, we have differing personalities, backgrounds, experiences, and preferences, and all of these with varying degrees of sanctification. So there's lots of opportunity to disagree with each other. But I just like to say this, that disagreements are wonderful opportunities to practice getting along with each other. And it's nice to say this in a setting like this, but there are times when we actually face that. You know, what are we going to do? How are we going to move forward? Well, I'm going to give you time for questions afterward, and I can't guarantee I can answer all your questions, because I know there are situations that are not easy at all. But let's look at characteristics of submission. It is a voluntary response from the heart. It's not a result of force or for show and effect so that it looks right, but it's a choice. To outwardly conform but inwardly chafe is not true submission. Let me tell you another story. I'm now a senior, and we're coming close to the end of the term. And I was part of a club that we had called the FTA, Future Teachers of America. And towards the end of the school year, we had an outing at a park, and we had a real nice time there. There was sort of a lake there, and there were some sailboats there. We just had a wonderful time, and things were going real good until someone mentioned, you know what, after we're done here, let's go mini golfing. My heart sunk. I knew very well the church I was part of would not approve of that. Now, I was in a hard spot. I mean, we're having an enjoyable time. And now, because my church is so restrictive, and I have a conscience, is so restrictive, I can't go and enjoy what the rest can do. Once again, I realize that where my church is and where I'm at, we're not at the same place. But the bad thing was that my sister was also part of the group, and another girl from our church, and I knew very well that whatever I did, they would do. So this was not one of these cases, nobody looking, let's do it. And I got upset. No, I didn't talk that way to my fellow classmates and so forth. But we came back to the school, and the rest went mini golfing, and we went home. I said I was angry. We left the school and went down Front Mountain Road at a high rate of speed because I was upset. Was that submission? No. No. It is a voluntary coming under. And furthermore, it will sincerely seek the success of those over us. It's not just putting up with or tolerance, but it is a desire to see blessing upon the lives of our overseers. Aim to let them feel your support, and support does not mean just what they want to hear always, but to say in kindness and with entreaty, Oh, 1 Timothy 5, 1 and 2. I don't have time to go into all this, but that passage of Scripture has such blessed instructions for us. When he says, don't strike an elder, but entreat him as a father and the mothers and the older ladies and the young men and the young ladies, that word entreat is an intriguing word. It includes encourage, and it also includes summoning. Come, come, come. You see, one of the things that happens when there are disagreements, distance, distance. And so we back away from each other. And the farther we back away from each other, the more the disagreements grow. But there's something, if I have a question with this brother here, I know Hosea, so I can do this. If I have a question about him, if I come up close and I say, Hosea, why don't we go out? You have time to go out to eat with me?
Sure.
Hey, I just want to have some time. Yeah. You know, it's all right now. These days. Yeah, but that's why he beat me. Okay. There's something about coming up close to the person that we are experiencing disagreement that those things become small. But it's the distance when they begin to grow, they become large. Aim to let them feel your support. And here's a quote from Stephen Cole. The test of whether we are truly subject to God-ordained authority is whether we can submit joyfully. Grudging submission is perhaps better than no submission at all, but joyful submission shows that we are truly subject to God. Verse 21, referring to Ephesians 5, is a continuation of the results of being filled with the Spirit, which includes joyful singing and heartfelt thanks. You can't divorce submission from these two preceding verses. Submission can be joyful because we know that God has our good in view, and that submission to proper human authority is ultimately submission to the Lord Himself. There's another characteristic of submission, and that is we strive to be good listeners. We tend to think that speaking is really the way to advance the kingdom of God, to contribute to God's work, yet sometimes listening does more than speaking. And then there's desiring accountability. Serving God is not just about God and I, but it is we believers together with God. What is the first word? I don't know how many of you were here at the opening session yesterday morning. Okay. Yes. Okay. And Brother Steve got up there and he said, let's pray. What was the first word he said? Sorry, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. Anybody remember? There was one before that. Our, yes, our Father. Now, I'm not saying anything if you don't remember that. Maybe I was attuned to that, you know. When the disciples said to Jesus, teach us to pray, what was the first word he said? Our. Our. That is significant. We are not alone in the body of Christ, but together we are his body and members of one of another. And as I said before, submission is not a standalone teaching. It is we, not me. And together we make up the body of Christ, with the head being Jesus Christ. Now, at the same time, however, we're talking about submission and yielding to others. We do remain a unique individual. Submission is not so much singing in unison as it is singing in harmony. Joyful submission for Jesus' sake causes the heart to blossom and not to wither away, contrary to natural human thinking. As an individual created in the image of God, we need to develop logical thinking patterns. We do not let other people do our thinking, though we willingly defer to others. Now, there are rewards of submission, and there are other things that could have been mentioned here. I think I have three of them here. The first one is that the power of the Spirit is released. The Holy Spirit is able to accomplish great things. Great spiritual power is active in our dark settings. And again, I'd just like to remind us the connection between being filled with the Spirit and submitting to one another. I said that when we came home from Kenya, there were some whispers. Now, we served in Kenya only 2 years. That was a disappointment to me. I didn't feel it was fair to the Africans for, you know, switching pastors all the time. That's not good. We wouldn't want to do it here at home. And I felt it wasn't a good thing. But there were other situations that entered in. We came home. But there was another reason I didn't want to terminate. And that was, I really wasn't eager to come back to our church. It's okay to come back for a furlough, but not, I just was not looking forward to it. I'm just telling you how it was. Well, you heard a bit what I said, what my dad had said. And then somewhere along the line, here comes another thing from God. How do I want to say it? It was one of those times when he just got something through to me, and it ended up pointing me in a direction. We had Melvin Lehman come down to our church. Oh, it was a graduation service. And if you know Melvin, he has all his points. They all started with C. And I don't remember any of the points except this one. This one point, he told the graduates that you should be committed to a community. And he meant a geographic community. Whew. And I remember being out in my prayer time, and we have the Juniata River right next to our property, and I'm out there. And I say to the Lord, Lord, it just seems like you want us to be here in Belleville. If that's the case, it's all right. I know what it's like to be in church with one foot in and the other. Where can I drop it down? Where can I drop it down? Where? It's not good. And God, I said, if you want us to be here, it's okay. Now, I want to tell you that God has done a marvelous work in our congregation. I love our congregation. I love to be there. There's something about the Spirit being able to work in our midst when we lay down our own preferences. When there is strife and dissension, it stifles the work of God and much energy is lost. Love, which is the trademark of believers, includes submitting one to another. There have been too many talented individuals that had their contribution to the kingdom hindered by their inability to work harmoniously with others. Now, here is a second one. Submission opens up opportunities. Now, if we would turn to, maybe I'll have somebody read 2 Chronicles 10, 1-7. I think we have time to do that. Somebody read 2 Chronicles 10, 1-7. Okay, thank you, brother. And the setting here is that Solomon has died, and Rehoboam's going to be the king, and Jeroboam has come up from Egypt, and things have been pretty heavy for Israel. And so they're coming with a request. You want to read?
10:1-7.
Yes, 2 Chronicles.
Rehoboam went to Shechem, for to Shechem where all Israel came to make him king. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was in Egypt, whether he had fled from the presence of Solomon the king, heard it, that Jeroboam returned out of Egypt. And they sent and called him. So Jeroboam and all Israel came and spake to Rehoboam, saying, Thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore ease thou somewhat the grievous servitude of thy father, and his heavy yoke that he put upon us, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, Come again unto me after 3 days. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, saying, What counsel give ye me to return answer to this people? And they spake unto him, saying, If thou be kind to this people, and please them, and speak good words to them, they will be thy servants forever.
Thank you for reading that. So now here they're coming with a request. Could you ease the burden? The old man said, Rehoboam, if you will listen to them, if you will listen to them, they will be your servants forever. They're going to follow you, but you need to consider them. Well, he lost a great opportunity. Instead, he listened to his peers that were saying, Rehoboam, if you give them a finger, they're going to take your whole arm. This is just the beginning of they're going to ask this and this and this. Let them know right from the start who is the boss and who is in charge. And you know what happened. He lost an opportunity. An attitude of rebellion sows rebellion in the lives of others, and an attitude of serving genders more service in others. Sometimes people might express themselves in this way, I'm just ignored. When I say something, I'm not heard. And my ideas, they are overlooked. I mean, people don't listen to me. My question in such a case is this. All right, so people are not listening to you? How well are you listening? How well are you listening? It is good when we feel ignored and overlooked to ask ourselves, how well have we listened to others? And so, it opens up opportunities. It enables us to abound in fruitfulness. I said that when I put myself into the pastoral team and showing support, I'm telling you that there was a relationship that was developed that I didn't say this anymore. I'm not heard. My advice was sought after. Now, there's a third reward of submission I've listed here, and that is it enriches life. Submission unto others as to the Lord brings richness of life. It enables us to experience a bond and closeness with other believers. We experience teamwork and a team togetherness. And the team is able to accomplish more than the individual sum total of what we can do. Somehow it works that way. And then there is this great relationship principle verse found in Romans 15, verse 7. Wherefore receive ye one another, even as Christ has received us. You know what that means? I mean, we can talk about it here, and it's good to talk about it, but as we put it into practice, we're not always sure what all it includes. Receiving one another means to accept each other It means to take to, just like, you know, this bottle here. I take it. I'm even going to drink some water from it. You know, I've taken to the water. And it means to take toward, to take to oneself. It means to receive into friendship or show hospitality toward. It means to invite to the table, but it means more. It means to grant you access to my heart. What does that mean? It means to open our hearts to. Submission is a beautiful way that gives us opportunity to experience what Romans 15:7 is giving us instruction. Okay, there's 5 minutes. 5 minutes, maybe you have questions or comments or something you'd like to have repeated. Yes.
So that's a good response, not just verbal, but also a plan of action. When you don't agree with the decision that's made, but you happen to give to your leader's preference, and so you tell them, you know, I'm happy to do your way, and they say to you, I don't want you to do this just for me. I want you to have this belief yourself.
What to do?
Yeah, like not just what.
Okay, you heard the question. There was a good response. I'm willing to yield to your preference. But the overseers say, hey, we don't want just a yielding. We want it to be your purpose. I mean, we want it to be from your heart. You're with us. How do we handle something like this?
Would it be appropriate to ask for some dialogue on the reasons behind the principle, and if that would possibly lead toward a young person accepting the belief as their own?
I think you have mentioned something there very important. Obviously, you're going to have conversation. Mm-hmm. And we're going to need to open our hearts because this is not a pretend situation. And for that really to become my personal position, I have to be honest. Maybe for right now, the best you can do is I'm willing to yield, and I'm willing to be taught. I'm just not quite there, but I'm willing. I don't know how the Holy Spirit might use that particular situation. But he can do some mighty interesting things. Maybe someone else has something you want to add.
In the statement I'm hearing from the overseer,
yeah,
maybe an attitude that they're feeling rebellion in that, okay, I'll yield, but I want this to be yours. In other words, they're looking for total commitment, but if you're not ready to totally commit, what Brother says
yeah.
is very
mm-hmm.
wise.
Did you hear what Ricky said?
I think so.
Yeah, it maybe, and this is where the dialogue comes in. Mm-hmm. And what is a great blessing if we can just say, now, okay, why did you say that? Mm-hmm. Are you sensing something within me? Mm-hmm. And if we're free to talk about it, you are in a very good place. Even if you leave and you're still not, maybe you're still maybe not at the same place, you are in a very good place because you could talk. Mm-hmm.
I think it's very important in a case like that that if you want to support and agree and submit versus, okay, I'm going to do this, but I also want you to know that I don't agree with you, but I will. There's a big difference. If he senses that, yeah, you have reservations, but hey, I'm right there. And yeah, there's a lot of little nuances that come into play. But really wanting to, I think, is key.
Okay, I'm going to turn this back to Jason. And thanks for being here. You've been a good audience.
This recording and many others are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. For more information, call 1-814-789-4769 or visit us online at www.christianlearning.org.